ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I'm the managing editor of ReaderViews in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's August 2nd, 2007, and welcome to episode number 36 in our series. Tonight's topic is creating a website that sells your book. And our special guest who will be joining us this hour is Shella Abdullah from ShellaAbdullah.com. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is AuthorsAccess.com. Now tonight we're on the line with Shella Abdullah, an accomplished web and print designer living in Austin, Texas. She has been in the business of designing for over 14 years and has developed several websites for both authors and writers. Being an award-winning author herself, she knows and understands firsthand how a well-constructed website can advance an author's career. Shella's creative work focuses on the strengths and weaknesses of Pakistani women and their often unconventional choices in life. Her work also deals with the Asian experience in America, the conflict between the two worlds, and the culture of her adopted country. She offers her readers a window into the multicultural world through her vibrant characters. She was born in Karachi, Pakistan in 1971. She has a bachelor's degree in English literature and a diploma in graphic design. In 1993, she started writing fiction, articles, and personal essays for some South Asian publications. She presently works as a media design associate at an educational nonprofit in downtown Austin. Shella has been published in Dallas Child, Web Guru, About Families, Women's Own, She, Fashion Collection, and a magazine of the Daily Dawn newspaper called Tuesday Review, and many other publications. Her debut book, Beyond the Cayenne Wall, is a collection of stories about Pakistani women struggling to find their individualities despite the barriers imposed by society. And now we're going to this week's special guest, Shella Abdullah. Good evening, Shella.
Nice to be here, Victor.
Hi, Shella. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Irene.
I've read your book, and it's fantastic. It's just a real insight into the lives of Pakistani women. I know that you wrote this as fiction, but in reality, the bottom line is that there is some truth to a lot of those stories. And aside from that, with your career in designing websites, that's what we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
So I know that you have done a number of websites for authors, and of course your own is fantastic. And
thank you, Irene.
You're welcome. It is great. I love the colors, and it's just such a professional website. And I know that that is important for authors to have, is a professional website. And first of all, I think we should just talk, why should some authors have websites? I know that a number of authors that we have reviewed books for don't have websites and have no intentions of getting any. And so I think that we need to just get that right up front and clear as to why do authors need a website.
Well, think of websites as an author's virtual calling card of sorts. Rick Frischman, the president of Planned Television Arts, who has 30 years of experience in publicity, said in an interview once, you need to have a fantastic website even before you get an agent. So the minute you start thinking of book titles, he encourages you to reserve the URLs. So your website really is your online home of sorts. And if you think of how much energy you put in sprucing up your house when someone's visiting, and you think, you know, if you think of your home as a place where visitors would be calling day and night, that's what your online home is. And so compromising it or having a presence that does not represent the true you can put off visitors right away. And if you're an author who's been on the fence for a long time about having a website, should ask themselves these questions. Do you want to attract more readers, sell more books? Do you want a fan base? And who doesn't, right? Do you want to attract media? Do you want readers and editors to know that you're an expert in your field? And like it or not, most editors today would look you up before they even sign you up. And if you don't have a respectable site, you will not impress them. So, you know, considering all these things, I think an author should have a website. And even before the manuscript goes out the door, it's very important for you to have some sort of an online presence.
You know, I so agree with you because I always called it a storefront.
And exactly.
You know, because that's basically what it is. It's your storefront. But also, it's just like everything else, the virtual virtual store for the book. And one thing you had mentioned is, like, you know, you should have it before the manuscript. And it was interesting to hear you say that actually, you know, publishers will go and look for a website. Let's just talk a little bit more about that. What would publishers be really looking for even before there's a website or a book published?
Before a book is out?
Mm-hmm.
I think what the publishers are looking for is some kind of writing credentials. So an author, even before an author becomes a book author, would probably have some sort of writing credentials. It's good to have it down in a form of a website, have some excerpts, have some kind of contact information available. All this is going to come in handy because your online presence is, it defines your personality. It shows who you are. And, you know, when you send in your manuscript, your face is not there. And seeing your face, you know, biased or not, it does make a difference to see that, you know, you have a professional photo up there, you know, you care about your image, you care about what you project. All these are important things in today's world.
So what I'm hearing you say, Shala, then, is that basically the website is about the writer, the author themselves at the beginning, not about the book, but just really promoting themselves.
Right, exactly.
So let's do that then. So we don't have a manuscript, or we just have a manuscript, we haven't really done anything with it. Let's talk about what should be on that website before the publisher, you know, is secured or if you decide to self-publish. So you mentioned picture. What else?
You need your picture there. You need, if you've done any article writing, maybe have links to the article writing. Maybe have excerpts that you provide in its entirety. Maybe even have a media kit that has your photo, that has your contact information. A section on your bio, because when you submit your manuscript, you would probably not have an extended bio. On your online site, you can probably have an extended bio as well. In fact, there was... and I wouldn't even call her an author because she's not an author yet. She has not published her book. A publisher has not even been selected. But she contacted me, and she wanted a website done, and we actually got it done for her. So it's all there ready. It's a book on bipolar syndrome and what people go through. So she has a link to resources. She has a media kit ready. She has really professional photos done. She has an excerpt of a chapter. And it projects just such a nice image of the book and the person, because the website, if you look at it, it's all about her work and all about this bipolar disease that she has researched for so long, and a very extended bio of her. So it does matter in today's world.
Yes, it does. I mean, we're so computer oriented. We do everything. Today I had a crash that happened, and it's like, my assistant and I had nothing to do. We couldn't work because, and I wanted him to get a phone number, and I can't. So I had to look for a telephone book that's already 5 years old, you know.
Oh my God.
So what you're saying is so important. I mean, today was just a real good example. We do everything on the computer. Everything. So actually, too, what I'm hearing you say is having a platform on the website is really important, too.
For nonfiction writers, yes.
Yes, yes. And for fiction writers, too. I know that a lot of publishers want a platform because when they're out on tours, they need to be an expert in something or another. So, so this is all what you're saying, Dan. Really have this all in place before even the book is published.
Exactly. It tells the editors and publishing houses how serious you are about your work, how much you're willing to invest in it.
Great. Shel, I've got a question getting into the mechanics. Do I need to choose between, say, doing a website and a blog, or can I put them together? How do I make them work together?
Well, a good thing to do is have both. Once you have a nicely designed site, you can have a link to the blog. And blogs are so easy to update yourself. So if you're not technically savvy, you can have a blog and you can do updates. The beauty of blogs is you can have fresh content every day. And if you are familiar with HTML and Dreamweaver, you can probably update your site yourself too. But updating a blog would probably be very easy for a person, for a non-techie. And that would provide fresh content every day, and that really helps too. Freshness of the content is very important. I sometimes forget that even on my side, but it is really important. It cannot be understated. And Irene would probably vouch for that, too.
Yes, for sure. Every day. Every day you put something, make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I tell people, you know, if you can write an email, you can write a blog.
That's not that true.
Hard.
Again, that shows how serious you are about your work, too.
I have another question.
Yes.
Some people in the run-up to printing a book recommend that you include sample reviews to make it easier for reviewers to kind of summarize your book. Have you seen that work successfully?
Oh, no. I've never seen that, and I wouldn't recommend that. Having, you know, really professional reviews done by an external company or person would work, but having your own reviews, I don't think so. I don't think that's a great idea. That would probably make an author look amateurish.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of risk there. I've never done it myself, but I've seen people say, you know, in their media kits that you should include something that a reviewer could basically cut and paste.
Oh, my God. You wouldn't want reviewers to do that, right? I've had reviewers copy the back of the book, the marketing copy, and use verbatim. And it's not a good feeling. It tells me that the reviewer has not done his or her work.
Great. Okay, some more nuts and bolts questions.
Yes.
Now, after my book is in print, there's a lot of ways that I could sell it. What are the simplest ways that I can really make it easy for people to buy the book once they get to my site?
Well, the first and the most handy little tip is to have a buy the book option on your site, whether it's a link or whether you're doing it yourself. So like any other marketing device, your website, you will consider it a tool that helps you reach not only your readers but also the media. An interview or two, a mention here and there with links to your site will help increase sales. If you imagine late at night, a reporter is working on a story and searches online for somebody like you, and the results yield your name, one click and they'll be visiting your site. Next, they'll be sending you an email. Would a call have worked at a midnight hour? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
Not unless you lived in a time zone like Pakistan. So remember, your website alone will not land you sales, but it's the efforts you make in driving people there. So investing in ads such as Google Ads help your ranking and sell box. You can use your URL to the point of abuse. You can get it in the hands of every person you come across. The other thing is to have a sign-up form and assign visitors up for email announcements and such. And having an e-newsletter that you send out periodically would bring in some more sales as well. I always experience a surge in book sales when I send out my fan newsletter, which isn't too often, but you can tell.
Yeah, that's a great idea to throw in there. What are some other ways that I can use to increase my page rank? Because, you know, there's nothing worse than finishing your site, and you can't even find it yourself on Google.
That's true. See, there's one thing that a lot of people don't know about, and that's behind-the-scenes things in the code. The code, the website, the way it's put together, it's got a bunch of code in the back end of it. One of that is the meta information. Meta information is a set of keywords and description you can assign to your particular page. And so it will have a group of keywords. So once you submit your site to a place like Google, those keywords, if they're punched in by somebody, would bring your page up, whether it's a few pages down the few pages down, but it will definitely bring you up. And the more people search for keywords like yours, the more you're going to come up in the ranking. One of the things you can track visitors' visits is to get Google Analytics installed on your site. Now, Google Analytics is a free code that Google has provided for you to track visitors on your site. So all you have to do is take that little piece of code and insert it on every page of your site. And what it does is it'll get you to a page where you can generate reports of who came to your site, when they came to your site, what were they looking for when they came to your site, where in the world they came from. You can track everything. You can track your every move. And the one important thing you can track there is what was the last thing your visitors saw before they left. And that is a red flag for you, because if they left on that page, you need to put something interesting on that page to hold their attention a while longer. So, you know, there are stuff like that are available and for free. that a lot of people don't know about. And
right.
The other thing that I always talk about is you have to offer some kind of a gimme for your visitors when they come. So they are coming to visit, but what are they getting in return? What are you giving to them? A free chapter, a free excerpt, some free resources. You have to make an effort to draw them back again and again with teasers or something. Some of the folks on my list have become like beta readers for future novels just because of the newsletters that I send out. So you have to sense out the visitors' needs. You have to accommodate their expectations. You can have polls. You can have brain teasers. You know, you need to have them come back again and again, and that's going to exactly affect your ranking on Google search engines and such.
Right. I just thought of, you know, maybe you could have some kind of contest or something like a scavenger hunt.
Right. You know, you can pull out information from your book and use it as brain teasers. Okay, so this happened so at so-and-so level. What happened in the end? And, you know, if people have not read your book, they would want to read your book.
And we'll be back with more Authors Access after these important announcements.
After successfully completing the challenging process of publishing a book, many authors find themselves arriving at a new and even more challenging step in their writing career, and that is attracting an audience and gaining publicity for their newly published work. ReaderViews.com offers valuable resources for this important step in an author's career, and they now provide the latest marketing tool, the book preview. These are videos created to promote books in the same way that movie trailers promote movies, and they are amazing. Go to ReaderViews.com today to find out more about previews. Just click on the previews icon in the menu bar for more information.
This week on AuthorsAirwaves.com, we'll be featuring Marion Volkman, author of Life Skills, Improve the Quality of Your Life with Metapsychology. More information on Marion's book at www.lifeskillsbook.com. Find out whether you can create happiness in your life or whether it's all up to chance. What is happiness anyway, and why does it matter? Join us on AuthorsAirwaves.com this week. Music for Authors Airwaves is arranged and performed by George Wood. For more information, see PodSafeAudio.com. And now back to our interview with Shaila Abdullah on AuthorsAccess.com, where authors get published and published authors get successful.
Right. So what are the key questions I should be asking when I'm putting out a proposal for web designers to make sure that, A, that I understand what I'm getting, and, B, that I'm getting a good value for my money?
You need to ask, are you talking about asking designers?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want a professional to get me started.
You want a professional design done. The questions you need to ask is, you would probably want to look at the designer's portfolio to make sure that they design in a way that projects your best image. You also need a company that does not do cookie-cutter sites, because authors' work, you know, you want to differentiate every author. You want to kind of like just wrap yourself around their content and develop a site for them so it reflects their true personality. You can't use cookie-cutter sites. That's one of the things that I think is key to the author's site. You can't have two author sites looking alike. So when you glance at a designer's portfolio, make sure that that's not happening. For a lot of people, cost is also a factor. So a good designer would always probably give you a few packages to choose from with the option of adding more features later on. Also a good thing to ask is, once you're done with the site, what would be the update plan, or whether you would like to receive some training on doing basic things yourself, or would you want the designer to continue to do updates for you? You should decide on a time frame. I think those would be the key things to look out for.
Great.
I'm really glad that you mentioned about the best image. because I think that's really important, and I've gone to many websites where I've seen that, you know, it's really, you can tell that it's a homemade, self-made website, and it's hard to, you know, go browse through it. You can't find anything. It's like a cookie cutter. And
exactly.
Then, on the other hand, you know, the professional ones are totally different and ease, and I think that ease is really important, that when, and important to keep the author there too. And so let's talk, Shala, about how do we make a website easy to maneuver, easy to browse through, easy to find things. What are the important things there?
One thing to always remember is your site should have navigation that are not difficult for different browsers to navigate. Like some of the JavaScript pull-down menus that people have on the site function so differently from browser to browser, from platform to platform. The best way to design it is to design it in a way that it works seamlessly in all browsers. You can't have graphics so high in resolution and in size that it takes forever to load, because visitors' patience is not that much. You know, if it's not loading under a few seconds, people are going to leave. They're not going to stay. One of the other things to remember is what you see above the fold is very important. If you have your very important information just buried deep at the bottom somewhere, no one's going to look at it. Above the fold, quick glance, what is it that you have to offer? How is it useful to me? People want to see that. You can't have pages that scroll endlessly, especially if it's the splash page, the first page that people enter. If it's endless scrolling, it's a lot of text. People are not going to read it. Excerpts are different because that's a freebie you're providing. People, if people are interested, if they want to buy your book, they would go and read it. But other pages should not be that heavy in text. So minimize, spruce, you know, make it easy for people to read through quickly. Again, one of the things that you were talking about homegrown sites and how that's not a very good idea. Again, I would say that your website defines who you are. You know, you would not buy jeans to attend an Oprah, right? Mm-hmm. How many of us are just put off by poorly constructed sites with clunky navigation? So investing in a good design service is so important to project your better image. Homegrown sites make the visitors determine that you're not serious about your work to make an investment in it. That's why I say, you know, you should avoid cookie-cutter sites that use one template-fit-all model. Although some of them are very easy in navigation, but really, do you want to see the same kind of site all across the board with all the authors? It just doesn't define their personality, their work, their genre. So you have to dress your site in a way that you're already a bestseller. Project your image like you've already accomplished something. And again, you have to remember that it's your virtual home, so you should invest in it wisely and demand a look, actually, that highlights your best, because you're worth it.
Boy, you know, what you just said, Shala, is so important. It's an investment. It really is. And that's something that the authors really need to think about when they have a manuscript before they're even going to publish, that there's going to have to be some investment, and what you're saying is a website is one of them. So I would just want to go a little backtrack a little bit. Earlier I had asked you about what to do before the manuscript, and you had clearly defined. Now, okay, I've got the manuscript, I've had it published, now what do I put on the website?
Oh, yes, that's a very good question. I have narrowed it down to 7 things that you should always have on your website if you're an author. First of all, it's your bio that defines who you are, what you do, what kind of genre you write. So it's a combination of ingredients that makes a great recipe. So your bio would be the very first one. The second one would be a media kit with a decent photo of yours. And one should never undermine the value of a good photo. I think authors should consider getting a professional photo shoot to project their right image. It's really worth it. The third thing you would want on your site is, of course, an excerpt that now you're a published author. You will have an excerpt to put on the site. And again, as I said, this would be a freebie for the visitors. Because they're coming to the site, you need to give something back to them. The fourth one is you have to put information on how to buy the book. And you have to put it in a place that's very prominent. I would suggest putting it on the home page, the first page of entry. make sure that it is there, it's in bold letters, it's visible. And then you would want reviews of the book. If you've won awards, you would want that on the site. The fifth one is you would want a news and events section that highlights your book reading events, signing events, you know, media mentions, if any. The sixth one, you want a sign-up form to start collecting visitors' information because you're building a fan base now. And any future announcements you have relating to your future work or existing work, you would need that list. And that's a list that, you know, you will have from visitors with their consent. You are collecting their information because they would like to receive updates about your work. The seventh one and the most important one is an easy-to-find contact section. One common mistake that I've seen across the board in a lot of sites is people bury it in a form. They don't give out their email address, but they bury it in a form. It's okay for fans, but if media folks are looking for you, I don't think they would bother to fill out forms. So, you know, if spam is such a big problem, using a Gmail account filters most of the spam out and also provides you tons of space. So those are the things that I think should be on the site.
Well, I have to agree with that, and that certainly gives a rounded, really rounded look at who the person, who the author is and what the book is about. I mean, it's all there. So now we're talking about all the things that should be on. Are there any things that we shouldn't put on as offers?
Again, I have a list of seven things.
We do? All right. Let's hear them.
You do not want content with grammatical and spelling mistakes.
Amen.
That's a no-no if you're an author. Number two, you want a bio. You don't want a bio that makes you sound like a Jack or Jill of all trades. Like mine would say, my author site says that I'm a designer, but doesn't harp on it too much. Just mentions it in one line and then leaves it at that. Because it's an author site, so the visitors, the fan base, the media looking up. Looking you up on an author site would expect to see that kind of information. The third thing is you don't want photos from your last family reunion or anything like that over there. And the fourth one, and that's something that, Victor, you brought up early on, is, you know, a site with distracting animation, blinking text, annoying rotators. You don't want those things on the site. That would put off a lot of visitors, and if they're not able to view it for any reason, would make them leave in a hurry. The fifth one is you don't want your unpublished writing on the site. You know, it's one thing that if it's published, but if it's not seen the light of day, it's probably not worth mentioning. The sixth one, you do not want to have a corner on your website where you're bad-mouthing publishers and agents. They're a very tight-knit industry, and word gets around. And publishers, editors, agents, most of them are pretty good friends with each other. So, you know, if you bad-mouth somebody, the word gets around. And if you're planning to be in this industry for a while, it's probably not a wise idea. The seventh one, you don't want a vast section of external links that do nothing for your site. Some people put links there to increase their ranking in search engines, but really that kind of traffic does nothing for your site. So people are coming to your site, but that's not the information they're looking for. So they will leave in a hurry. So what has it done for you? It's given you this stat that says, oh, so many people visited my site, but what did they do once they got there? They left. So it means nothing for you. So those would be the seven things you don't want on your site.
Yeah, Shel, I agree with you. Those are all definite no-nos, especially lots of links that don't really relate to what you're all about. How about things like the guest book? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Guest book is a good idea. And again, the sign-up form would actually serve as that, but guest book would be good in instance where you can moderate those comments because some of the comments would be really strange and you probably don't want them on the site.
Yeah, that's true. You have to be on the lookout for guest book spam and all that. Suppose I'm writing a book on Southwestern cooking, and
right.
I'm is there a diplomatic way I can go to all the other sites I know about Southwestern cooking and say, you know, why don't you put a link to me on your site?
I don't know if I would advise that. I wonder if people would look at it as spamming them. But, you know, one of the good ways to start using your URL more and more is, you know, in every email you send out, every conference, every book reading event you attend, make use of the URL and get it in as many hands as possible. And when you are interviewed, when books are reviewed, encourage the reviewers and interviewers to use your URL in the material they have about you. That will increase your ranking, too.
Well, gosh, Shala, you've just given us so much great information, and so now I'm going to ask you for your URL.
I have two. I have one author site URL, and I have one for my designer portfolio. So which one would you be looking at today?
We'll be looking at the designer one.
So that is Shala Abdullah, shailaabdullah.com/houseofdesign.
And this is where the listening audience can go to and actually see what you have done and look at your portfolio of designs.
Yes. Yes.
And your author is shailaabdullah.com. So I'm assuming then that that is a link off your main site.
Yes, it is.
Yes. All right. Well, gosh, thanks again. You know, as I'm looking here at my sheet, I've got tons of little pieces of paper or writing on here, and I am going to go back to my own personal website, and I'm going to make one change. And that is putting my book on the home page, because I don't have my book available for sale on the home page. I have its own page. I have a link.
Oh,
but,
okay.
What I heard you say, that it's important to have that link right there on that home page.
Exactly. And a photo of your book would help, too.
Yes, yes, of course.
Yes.
All right. Gosh, again, thanks, Shala. And I know that the listeners have just gotten so much information from you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you. And you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air August 9th, 2007, when our topic will be Getting a Six-Figure Advance Before You Write Your Book. And our guest who will be joining us is Susan Harrell from PRSecrets.com. You can learn more about all our guests on the Authors Access website, which is AuthorsAccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, signing off.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.